we talk about families, you know, we were talking about earlier about saying Happy Father's Day, and I tried to say Happy Father's Day to other fathers, and you know, what do you say to the mom? And like Gladys pointed out that, well, it's, they made you a father. There's a mom in the story. We talk about the most critical piece of our society, your families. Our families is like, it is the building block of societies, the building block of countries, the building block of our world. And we see just the trauma that when the family falls apart, just even in your own family, if you don't have that support to walk through stuff, it's really difficult to do life when you don't have family, when you don't have that support. And talk about dads. And no one in the family has a bigger impact on faith than dads. Nobody. It's so weird. It's like, why do they get, you know? It's just the way God designed the family. There's a place for dads. It just statistically, it's fascinating that if a child first becomes in a household, if a child is the first one to become a Christian, just statistically, only about 3.5% possibility that the rest of the family will become a Christian. And if the mom becomes the first one to become a Christian and put her faith in Jesus, there's about a 17% chance, because of a mother's influence, that the family will then follow after the Lord. Here's the crazy part. That if the dad is the first one to put his faith in Jesus and have a life change and begin to do things differently and follow after the Lord, guess how many become followers of Christ in that household? 93%. It's just crazy how when dad makes a move, it influences the whole family. And no one has a bigger impact, not only on faith, but just even coming to church. Did you know that Father's Day is statistically the lowest attended Sunday of the year? We'll say, well, yeah, well, Dad, what do you want to do for Father's Day? I want to go hunting. I want to go out on the lake. I want to have a barbecue. I want to. So kudos to you dads that are here. Kudos. Well done. It just, the reality is, if dad goes to church, even if dad doesn't go to church, excuse me, even if his wife does, only 2% of their kids will become regular church attenders as adults. If dad goes regularly, even if mom doesn't go, if dad goes to church regularly, anywhere from 67 to 75%, from 2/3 to 3/4 of those kids in their home as adults will continue to go to attend church regularly. And even if dad goes irregularly, kids will go from anywhere from 50% to 2/3 will continue to go to church. Even if dad's irregular. Huh, that sounds kind of weird, huh? Irregularly go to church. That it's following after God has an impact. When dads walk out their faith, it influences families. And it's crazy because it is legacy changing. Because guess what? If those kids have kids, guess what? They are setting the pattern for their kids who are someday going to have kids. It's scary to think how our decisions as dads has a long-term impact. As we talk about Father's Day, it's a day that we appreciate dads. It's a day that we recognize their God-designed influence in the world. And just in those statistics, it's like, wow, that is crazy. That is crazy. It's so cool to realize that, and we look at God's design, is that God introduced fatherhood. Clear back in the garden, when he created the first family, he said, that is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. He describes that family unit of going out and establishing your own home, establishing your own priorities, establishing your own relationship with your wife to create that family environment that raise kids to love them, to example to them. I just think about, as we look at what fatherhood looks like, what being a dad looks like, You look at what God describes himself as a father. It's interesting as even Jesus, what does he call his dad? He's my father in heaven. He even calls him daddy. He even calls him papa. And in that description is when he says, Abba, Father. It's like when is it the endearment to say, oh, daddy, oh, papa. I love when my kids, they call me papa. They don't call me, you know, father of my genetics, you know. They call me papa. It's so endearing to me. It reflects the love. And is the father reflects what his fatherhood looks like. And we see from scripture is that God is patient. He's kind. God is a God that's always approachable. He wants to be approached, right? Seek after me. Pursue me. Draw close to me. He says, come sit on my lap. Come talk to me. Come share your burdens with me. God will never have us earn his love. He's not a scorekeeper. God, there's nothing that we can do to lose his love. He is consistent, right? God's love is so wide, so high, so deep. You can't fathom it. You can't get away from it. God has your very best in mind. Father God loves us enough to even discipline us. That is a sign of love. As how many know, there's discipline out of anger. That's not God's discipline. Discipline out of love for somebody. Say, you know what? This is ultimately going to hurt you. I'm going to discipline you because I care about you. If you keep going down this road, it doesn't end well. Jackie and I, as we are parents, because guess what? Kids do make you get mad. Did you know that? If you have kids, you're like, ah! We would take ourselves on a timeout because we never wanted to discipline our kids out of anger. We would take a walk out of the room. We'd tell the kids, hey, you need to go to the room and think about what you did. We would exit the room because we needed some breathing time to go get Jesus back into the out with the bad anger and in with Jesus. And say, okay, we want to discipline our kids out of love. And that's the example that God, when he disciplines us, it's because he cares about us. And God's timing as Father is perfect. He doesn't wait too long, even though it feels like that sometimes. You know, you think about it, you want your kids to struggle. You know, some of our kids are self-do-it kids. You can't help them if their life depends on it until they're on the ground and exhausted that they'll finally let you help them. But God doesn't step in too soon. His timing is perfect. And he gives wisdom generously. He's like, you want to know? Ask me. Right? Sometimes we don't want people to give advice, unasked advice. And some of us are really good at doing that, right? We see the right thing to do in the pain is we just want to let them know. God doesn't give his wisdom unless what? We pursue it. Fathers, that's a reflection. As we look at who God is and how he fathers us, that's how we get to learn. Say, okay, God, help me be patient. And there is nothing sweeter than having your kid come back and ask you for advice. I just like, thank you, Lord, that I kept my mouth shut enough that my kid knew that I always wasn't free with my advice, that they were willing to say, hey, tell me what you think about this. Do you think we should do this? Or do you think we'd do that? To pursue that advice, giving wisdom generously. God lets you make your own choices. You know, that's the challenge as you raise kids, that you don't always put such tight parameters around them that they can't make their choices. Because how are choices made? How is character birthed? It's birthed in failure. It's birthed in learning. It's birthed in success. You don't want to know you did well because somebody helped you do well. You want to have known you did well because it was a choice that you made. God allows us to make choices. As painful as, does God allow us just to make good choices? No. God allows us to make bad choices too. And there's something so painful about watching your kid make a choice that damages them, that hurts a relationship, and really maybe even have lifetime consequences. But God allows that. As parents, it's like we can tell people, we can give advice to our kids, we can train them. But God allows, he backs up and said, hey, you get to choose. You can choose this way or you can choose this way. Right? Joshua says, as for me and my house, we were going to follow the Lord. You can choose death. You can choose life. But as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. And God, the Father, knows you intimately, right? You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He has good thoughts about you. He knows what you're going to say before you even say it. He cares about you. He listens to you. It's amazing to me as God has grown my heart to be able to be an observer of people. And I begin, because of that, gotten better at listening and see people's expressions and whether they're disappointed or whether they're angry or whether they're frustrated or even depressed. To be able to listen and understand. And God, in such a greater, exponentially better, knows what we're going through. He's the best papa we could ever have. When God made men, he intended men to be like those things we just talked about. He designed as dads for us to walk that out. He wanted us to be fathers who were just like him, men who lead by creating and nurturing life. Fatherhood is one of the most incredible privileges and what? Responsibilities. There's nothing. I remember riding home with our little baby in the car and in the car seat between us and a little truck that we had at the time, driving carefully. It was like, what are those guys speeding for, man? Don't they know we got a baby in here? You know, it's like all of a sudden you're like aware of the responsibility that you have of this little life, this little helpless life. I'm thinking you never know until your parents said, oh, until you have a kid, you just don't understand. I was like, wow, I get it now. I get it. And it's just so fascinating as you parent, as you father, you understand in a new way how much God loves you, how much he cares about you, how he's saddened by the choices that you and I make, and how he pleased he is when we come to him with our problems and for encouragement. Fathers powerfully shape our world. It's interesting as you look at just the difference between engaged fathers and disengaged, that when fathers are engaged, they uniquely mold their kids. In the same way, there's a disadvantage when they're not involved. Fathers who have a good relationship with the mother of their children, right? Going back to the first family, started what? With a husband and wife. Started with a mom and dad. When there's a good relationship in that beginning point of families, boys understand how to treat a woman in a world that's just disrespecting women and abusing of them. They understand how to treat women. Girls, they're less likely to become involved in violent and unhealthy relationships. Why? Because they see how dad treats mom. They see that relationship between that respect that happens. And then girls say, that was my goal to my, we had three kids. We had two boys and one daughter. My goal with all my kids was to be a great dad. But I thought I wanted my daughter to have really high standards for the guys that she went out with. I said, this is how a dad treats a daughter. This is how a husband treats a wife. Because when you're in the world, you see the abuse that happens. You see the misuse of relationship. Involved and caring fathers who are nurturing and playful with their infants. They have children who have higher IQs. As weird as that is, they have better language and better thinking capacities just from an involved dad. Those things, those benefits, I don't know if you just, this may be just like a new idea, but when we do things God's way, when we live life the way God intended, life is better, fuller, thrives in ways that we have no idea of. It's so important that we pursue God. Toddlers with involved fathers start school with higher levels of academic readiness. You know, maybe it's reading. Maybe it's just interaction with other kids. Maybe it's just being able to listen to the teacher talk and share what they're learning. All those ways toddlers are impacted when dads are involved. Those toddlers are more patient and they can handle stresses and frustrations. Why? Because they've seen their dad handle frustrations. Does dad kick the dog? Or does dad acknowledge it? Wow, that was not the way we thought it was going to go. Does he get angry and blow up and walk out of the room? Or does he engage and say, hey, let's figure this out. What do we do in this situation? Those toddlers are learning. They're watching. Adolescents and young adults with involved fathers have better verbal skills. They have higher intellectual functioning. And again, academic achievement. Fathers spend a lot more of their one-on-one interactions with infants and preschoolers in stimulating, playful activities than do mothers. And this is kind of a weird thing. Dads, I can relate because other dads have talked to this. I could not develop a relationship with my infant children until they're about 3 months old. That's about the time where you make goofy faces and they will smile back at you. Before that, all they do is sleep, poop, and, you know, drink milk. You know, it's like it just is not thrilling for a dad. But the moment that those little guys start to smile back at you, even though that the mom can discount and say that smile is just because they have gas. You know, I don't care. I'm taking the smile however I can get it. That in that point, that because of that, dads are just innate and like that interaction. And so they play with those infants in ways that matter and influence them. I look at this. I have this little short video of my son playing with his 2-week-old infant son. See how this is my son. He got this genetically. Does that kid look like he knows what's going on? 2 weeks old, and this is how the dad plays with him. It's just like you're looking for. His eyes are open, and he's wondering what in the world is going on. But I love it. I think that's my boy. Because guess what? That's how I played with my kids. It's one of those things. It's like in that moment, that kid is being impacted by them. Those interactions with the fathers is how those kids learn how to handle their feelings and their behavior. They learn how to have fun. They learn how to enjoy life. They learn how to handle roughhousing with dad. Can teach children how to deal with aggressive impulses and physical contact without losing control of their emotions. And so that's where you learn it. I just got, you know, bumped in the face or hurt. Am I going to get angry and stomp off or just like, you know, ow, that hurt, and then continue to play? It's how they learn. Dad's interaction is so important. I would tell my kids too is one of the things I read years ago was that kids who can ride on roller coaster rides is their dads played with them. in a sense that I remember I would, you know, maybe not quite like the cat, but, you know, flip the kid around a few times and throw him up in the air so that he would ride the roller coaster with me when they got older. All three of our kids don't get crazy sick when they ride the roller coaster. And I think it's because I played with them upside down a lot. It's those things is that we get interaction with them and that dad's influence. And obviously it's more than just teaching the kid to ride a roller coaster, but to interactions with the world around the society, to have dads that are engaged. Fathers also tend to promote independence and push achievement in their kids. Whereas moms tend to be nurturing and develop that side of a kid. It's those things that it's so important. We always think, oh, No, just be a man. You don't have to have like the 12 points of being a great dad and follow every single point. Just be a man. Be who God called you to be. Be engaged. A study of school-age kids found that children with good relationship with their fathers, they were less likely to experience depression, exhibit disruptive behavior, and boys had fewer school behavior problems, and girls had stronger self-esteem. Why is that? We talk about our identity. When we look at our Papa in heaven, when we understand who we are in His eyes, it gives us boldness. It gives us confidence when maybe everybody's slamming us around. It's like, no, I know who I am. I know He planted that in me. He gave me my identity. In the same way, dads are involved, help create identity in their sons and daughters. And we talk about just even the married, the family, that research consistently affirms that families with a married mom and dad, the kids do better than moms and dads who just live together. Why is that? Why do you think that a mom and dad who are married have better environments for raising children than somebody who just lives together? I think back, you know, to the Garden of Eden. When you look at the original mom and dad, you look at Adam and Eve and their relationship with God. When Adam chose to eat that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and right in the center of the garden, God did not have the choice, right? He could have. He could have put it in the corner, put a bunch of ivy around it, and hid it. But He doesn't. He wants us to enter into a relationship and to trust Him freely and openly. And so He put that tree that He says, don't eat of it, He put it right smack in the middle of the garden. If you're trying to get to the other side of the garden, you can go right by it. And Adam, he ate. And in that moment, he chose his own way rather than God's way. God's way said, don't eat this. This is not good for you. And he said, I'm going to eat that. I'm going to eat that. In that moment when Adam did, he could choose to either cover up or confess. God came in. The first thing they did was they made fig leaves. They covered up themselves. They hid. Adam and Eve did. He could have said, hey, God, I messed up. I messed up. I see things now that I didn't see before, and it's messed up. But he didn't. He covered up. God calls us to confess our sins and remove those masks and those costumes that we wear to hide behind. He also chose to hide. He could choose to hide or seek God out. Right? Go and find and confess his situation, find the Lord. Adam chose to hide from relationship and avoid any interaction that might reveal his failure, his betrayal of that relationship. You always can tell, right? Even your dogs do that. When they do something they wouldn't do, you come in the house, dogs will even look away from you. Your kids will look away from you. Relationship, when you do something that you know you shouldn't have, we tend to pull away, we hide, rather than seek out, hey man, I want to confess this situation, I messed up, I did what you told me not to do. God calls us to seek out, to restore our relationship with Him. That's what we choose to be dads, fathers, that we would be dads who would seek out and say, hey, I don't want you to come tell me I messed up. I want to come and confess it. I want to say, hey, you were right about that. I shouldn't have done that. You had, God's gifted you. The other thing that we see Adam doing is blaming. He had the choice to either blame or take responsibility. When God asked Adam, what did he do? What did he say? That woman you gave me. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be in this mess. Instead of saying, I messed up. I stood there the whole time that snake was talking to her, and I didn't speak up and say, hey, Eve, God told us to walk away. Walk away from the tree, let alone a snake that's trying to tell you that what God says is not true. God calls us to take responsibility for our choices and not hide behind the choices of other people. Right? We just talk about a victim mentality that, yeah, there's terrible things that happen and you may have been damaged and abused or lied to or mistreated. What are you going to do with that? Is that going to be what you hide behind for your life? To blame that person? Or you can say, you know what? That's terrible. That should have never happened. But now, from this point, I get to take responsibility for my choices. When we talk about just our roles as dads, you know, how does God define our roles as fathers? And I think it goes back to just even what we see that is just that first family situation. One of the great places it talks about that relationship is in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church." Really, what God is saying is a father's role, as God defines fatherhood, it's a role of leadership. God calls, he calls it the head, meaning that's a point of leadership. In order to be a head, what else do you have to have? A body. There's got to be other parts. You're just not a head bouncing along without just telling people what to do. It's in relationship. It is a complementary of the whole body. There's a responsibility of the head to take care of every other part. It's a leadership role. There's a benefit that whatever the head decides to do, it needs to protect the body from damage, to take care of it. There's a God-given leadership that a man is to bring to his marriage, to his parenting, to his family. In verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." A father's role is what? To love and to sacrifice for his family. Love and sacrifice for his wife. You know, I think sometimes we get it. Sacrifice has a bad feeling or description about it. Oh, I'm going to sacrifice my day off. She wants me to stay home and help her paint the house. No, sacrifice is something that God calls us to do out of our choice. I'm going to choose that you're more important than this thing. I'm going to choose to do this. This isn't something I dread to do. It's something I want to do. I want to do this too, but I want to love you more than I want to do this thing. You know, sometimes the sacrifice is like, it has to get pried out of our hand. It's like, oh, come on, you can let go of this. Please, please. You know, a sacrifice is something that you choose to do because it's, you want to love. You care about her. You care about your family. You want to get to know their concerns, their needs, and you respond to those things. Did you know that you can't love without sacrificing? You can't love somebody unless you give up something of value. You know, this world says, oh, I love you. Until you have to give something up. Well, I don't love you that much. It's not love then. It's secular. It's human-defined love, which tends to be emotionally driven and a feeling. Whereas God's kind of love is that action kind of love. It's a love that says, you know what? You are so doggone important, I will quit my job and go get another job if this bothers you this much. If this is damaging my relationship, if you're not feeling cared for, I will quit my job. I'll leave this friendship because not because I don't value this friendship, but I value you more. You know, and just that lifetime of growing that, you know, it's like, it's just a little bit more loving, but that God will grow our heart so that gap between what we value and the people we love gets bigger and bigger so that it becomes a no-brainer when it comes to that decision. Should I do this or should I do that? I always say, it's obvious I should do that. and go and choose the loving thing. And trust me, I've had a lot of look back on things and say, what in the world did I do that for? God, next time that comes up, I want to make this choice instead. But that's the process of just growing in our relationship and understanding sacrifice. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ. That's how we know what love is. It cost us. It's what that value that even ultimately laying down, sacrificing. Let's move to Ephesians 5, verse 26 to 28. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. As we look at just fatherhood, really, that role that God gives men is to love, is to lead, and protect his wife and his family. That's what love looks like. He makes God's word the standard for his household. That this is how I'm going to live. This is what's going to define my integrity. This is what's going to define my priorities. This is what's going to define how I spend my time. This is what's going to define how I my dreams that I have, those things that I'm hopeful for. He's the standard bearer. And so kids happen. We talked about that before. Where do those kids learn how to react to things? How did their dad react? What was when things were disappointed to him, when he was angry about things, when things didn't go like he thought they should, how did he respond? Kids learn that in a significant way. They learn it for sure from moms, but there's a significant impact from dads as how they respond. That is realizing that as dads, we bear the responsibility of setting the tone for the house. As I remember years ago, being challenged by my mood that I sent for my house. In more than one conversation, I'm ashamed to say, I would come home and say and do things that would totally derail the good things that was going on in the house for the day. And my wife would say, do you realize what was going on when you came in the door? No. Did you listen to what we were talking about? No. You just came in mad because they left the bike out and you had to get out of your car and move before you parked in the garage. You were just mad because the lawn didn't get mowed or there was a backpack in the way of the doorway. And that was your thing that you just came in upset about. And in that moment of my outburst, I set the tone for the night. Things did, like the air got let out of the room and just whoosh, anything good that was happening, I just squashed. As we walk in, dads realize that we impact what a house looks like. We set the tone for good or for bad. We set the tone as dads, and that's kind of scary, right? It's like you're responsible for your influence in bigger ways. It's like, yeah, I don't want to hear this. I'm out of here. Well, guess what? You can't get out of that. You can abdicate and either walk away from your responsibility, but you can't not have the influence. Because God designed dads to have influence in their families. And I just say, as I realize, my kids are growing. I got grandkids now. I still have influence with my kids and my grandkids and how I respond today. 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, household has denied the faith. As we look at a father's role, his role is to provide financially for his family. Fathers have been given the responsibility to provide and care for the needs of their family. It's interesting to think about just the challenges, and especially we've all been aware of the housing prices have gone up. I just feel sick inside for families who haven't bought a home yet. It's like, how in the world are they ever going to afford a home? What is that going to look like? And it's overwhelming. But it's also notable that God never asks us to do things that are impossible. God never asks us to do things that are impossible. God will ask us to do things that are hard. God will ask us to do things that require sacrifice. God will ask us to do things that we need his help for, but God will never ask us to do things possible. It's the challenge as we say, man, how can it work out? I'm just so jazzed when I see families choose a lot lower standard of living because they've made their family the responsibility. And it is, I don't have a good answer for that. Other than that, that's your faith walk. What does it look like? And it is hard and it's tough, but it still requires, God, I believe you've asked me to do this. Would you show me how to make this happen? And it may mean going back to a flip phone. It may mean cooking at home and not going out to eat. It may mean canceling cable TV. It may mean going down to one car, maybe getting a bicycle. I don't know. But I know that there's a blessing in that. As God designs how homes live, that there's a blessing in walking out our parenting, walking out our fatherhood that results in blessings. It's interesting as I remember hearing years ago that studies revealed that women who work resent if they have to work for necessities. Because when you work and you're pulled out of the home, to be able to buy those extra things, save up for a vacation or save up for something, you know, maybe a home purchase, a down payment on a home. But studies have revealed that women resent having to work out of necessity just to make ends meet. I was like challenging. It's like, really? You know, as I am a pastor and I couldn't live the life I've become accustomed to if my wife didn't work. And so I've asked her, I remember I said, Jackie, do you want to work? And she said, you know what she said? No. She says, but I realize that this is the choice we made and God's called you to be a pastor. And I'm choosing to work so that you can do that. There's a choice again. There's a choice that she said, this is important to me. Again, right? Sacrifice is choosing. In her case, she's choosing to love God. And she's choosing to honor me and God's call. Really not just on my life, but a call on both of our lives that she's chosen to do. God created leadership for a purpose. Dads are leaders. We're all called to lead and influence, but in particular, dads, as we celebrate Father's Day, leadership is established because it provides direction, it provides protection, and it creates and cultivates a thriving future that God intended in ways you just can't imagine. You can't navigate God's blessings. When you honor him, things happen that you couldn't make happen. God honors when we honor him in our roles and take responsibility what he's called us to. He blesses us. He honors us. It's a thought about just as we get ready to just close by concluding this. When does a man start practicing biblical leadership? When does he start? Does he start when he has children? Does he start when he gets married? Maybe it's when he gets engaged. I believe that a man starts practicing biblical leadership when he takes responsibility. Responsibility for what God's called him to do. That happens at any age of decision. When you, as little boys, take responsibility for their obedience to their mom, or helping, or responsibility they've been given to take care of the car that they're driving as a 16-year-old that their dad entrusted the keys to. When they help around the house, and how they love and sacrifice for others. When they take responsibility to lead and protect. When they take responsibility to financially provide. I want to make the money. I want to do that myself. I was just thinking about I was a missionary kid, and we were single income family, and my income personally came. I did paper out, and then I mowed lawns. And I remember when I was in high school, my mom thanked me for helping buy my clothes. That sounds kind of weird, but things were super tight financially. And she affirmed that responsibility, because I did just go buy stuff, although I did buy a bike, a nice bike, for my paper out, and I did buy toys, but I also bought my clothes. And my mom said, thank you for doing that. What was she doing? She was affirming my stewardship of my finances. She was affirming my choice. There was a decision. I could spend my money. They never told me how to spend my money. They had a choice. She affirmed my decision and how I did it. I love when kids save up, save up in their piggy bank to have a goal to buy a toy or to go somewhere or a treat. It's great for them to have those opportunities so they can be steward of doing those things. I just want to honor dads, that what you do, have done, and are doing is important, that we never stop having influence. And you don't have to have a kid develop a leadership, develop those roles as a father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for being the kind of dad that we want to be. to be the kind of father that we should honor and pursue being. Lord, I pray that for our young people, Lord, that they would look for the kind of boys that young ladies would pursue, that they would see a reflection of you in their dad, that's the kind of guy that they want to have marry someday, that's the kind of boyfriend they want, is one that respects them and loves you, Lord. Lord, I just know that all of us fall short. Lord, I know we all have regrets about maybe our parenting. Maybe we recognize that we weren't parented well. Lord, I just know that in the moment that we choose to honor you, God, you're honored. That I can have old regrets. I just don't want new regrets. God, would you help us be dads that honor you, Lord, and know that at every point that we do, Lord, that there is a blessing that we're passing on to not just our children, but to society, to the future of our family. Lord, we thank you for this Father's Day. We honor dads. We honor you, Father, for being our example, for being. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.